Welcome to another edition of the Ultimate Key to Freedom, Questions, Answers, Shares, and Comments audio. This first one that I'm going to answer here comes from Mark Hastings. This has been an ongoing discussion, so if you're looking at this audio and you have not looked at the two or three that preceded it, you might want to, because this is a continuation. Mark has finished the entire course. Hey, Robert, this is an add-on to my last share. I'm still getting a bit of swirl regarding pure raw experience and the story. I realize that splitting is just a label. I could also see, with a capital S, it as the story dropping away, becoming easier. I know you mentioned in another reply that becoming easier is a story, and I understand this. However, if I put it in this context, it's not a story. It's the pure raw experience. Here goes. Dave says to Jill, quote-unquote, this stuff is becoming easier. And Jill says, quote-unquote, that's fantastic. And they carry on the conversation. This is all pure raw experience. What a video camera would record. So where does the story come in? Is it if I was listening to them talking and whatever appears in inner space in my mind machine is the story? Yes, Mark, exactly. That's exactly what it is. It doesn't matter if we're looking at pure raw experience in story space, and we're looking at that as being what a video camera would record. It doesn't matter what the video camera records. People can be judging all day long. People can be yelling and screaming and swearing and thinking everything's real and negative and awful and terrible, and they can be accusing people of all kinds of things, and they can be lying, and they can, it doesn't matter what the video camera is recording. Whatever the video camera is recording, whatever is happening, is the pure raw experience. The story comes in when the mind machine observes a pure raw experience, whether it's an inner space or story space, buzzes and whirs, and based on its unique operating system, if you will, kicks out a story about the pure raw experience. So yes, I think you've got it here. Whenever you are observing something that's appearing in inner space or story space, the pure raw experience of it, and then your mind machine, so to speak, buzzes and whirs and kicks out a story, that's the story. It's what the mind machine makes up about what's being observed, different from the pure raw experience of what's being observed. Continuing, okay, that story space covered, now inner space. Whatever comes up in inner space is a story, basically. My thoughts, etc., and the pure raw experience is the movement of energy. This is a bit of a tricky one for me. Well, I'm not quite sure why this is happening, Mark, but your mind machine is really complicating something that's very simple. But one of these days, so to speak, the light bulb will go on. When you say whatever comes up in inner space is a story, basically, no, that's not true. It's the same thing. Something appears in inner space first, a pure raw experience. The mind machine then observes it. It buzzes and whirs, and based on its unique operating system, it kicks out a story about the pure raw experience that it just observed. Thoughts, as you know, for our purposes of discussion, can take three shapes. It can be a still photograph. It can be a video that's got images and movement and sound and everything. Or it can be sound, whether it's just sound or it's a voice talking by itself. No picture, no video. So the pure raw experience is whatever is appearing. I saw a photograph in my mind of a flower. That would be the pure raw experience, a photograph of a flower, you know, what looked like a photograph of a flower, a still image of a flower appeared in inner space. That's the pure raw experience. If a video showed up, then it's the same thing as the story space example. A video appeared in inner space in which the following things were happening. Like you said here, a video could appear, you know, with Jill saying this to Dave, you know, so it's the same exact thing if the thought appearing is a video. If it's a sound, then it's, I heard a sound, you know, and it sounded like thunder. It sounded like footsteps, you know, that's the pure raw experience. If it's a voice, then it's a voice saying, I'm so tired of feeling depressed all the time. You know, and a pure raw experience is a voice appeared in inner space saying the words, I'm so tired of feeling depressed all the time. So those aren't stories. Those are pure raw experiences. That is what was observed as appearing in inner space as it relates to thoughts. As it relates to feelings and sensations, it's trickier because they're invisible, you know. A still photograph of a thought, a video of a thought, a sound of a thought, they're visible in a sense, you know, but emotions and sensations are invisible. We're aware of them, but there isn't a visual component to it. That's what makes it trickier to talk about this until the truth of it reveals itself to you, so to speak. So again, what I would invite you to imagine, and I'll put a photograph below this audio of an image of a sound wave so that you can look at it as you're listening to this to get more of an idea of what I'm saying. We can experience hundreds, thousands, whatever, of different movements of energy in inner space that we would call emotions or that we would call sensations. If they had a visual component, they would look something like what you'll see as the picture that I'll upload along with this audio. They'd look different. You know, what you're going to see has color. The colors might be different. What you see has ups and downs, and the waves appear to be tall and short, and it fluctuates. That would look different for all the different emotions. So if you could see emotions and sensations, but since you're most focused on emotions, let's just talk about emotions. It's the same thing with sensations, but to make it simple, I'll just talk about emotions now. One of those sound wave patterns, so to speak, you know, with colors and different amplitude and different, you know, ups and downs and how tall it goes and how short it goes and how much it fluctuates would appear in inner space. That's the pure movement of energy. For purposes of discussion, the mind machine would look at that waveform and it would then make up a story about it. That's depression and that feels bad. That's anger and that feels bad. That's happiness and that feels good. That's excitement and that feels good. The pure raw experience is what appeared first, which in this case would be the waveform. Again, it's invisible, but when you have an emotion appearing in inner space, you're aware of it. You know, it has a presence. It's got certain kinds of characteristics. I'm just making it visual here, hoping that that'll help you get through this block that appears to be in the mind machine about pure raw experience and story. So just like a photograph of a flower can appear in inner space, a video where the following da-da-da-da is happening can appear in inner space, a voice can appear in inner space that says da-da-da-da, a sound can appear in inner space that sounds like footsteps or thunder or whatever, and then the mind machine observes it and then kicks out a story. The pure raw experience is also always what appeared first that the mind machine observed. After the mind machine observes something, it'll then buzz and whir, not always, but most of the time, and kick out a story about it. And the story's almost always incorrect, inaccurate, not true, however you want to look at it. So in inner space, as it relates to the thoughts, it'll see that flower and it'll say, oh, that's a really beautiful flower. Looking at a flower like that really makes me feel happy. If I had flowers like that sitting on my kitchen table every day and I could see them every morning when I woke up, that would really make me happy. The flower is just the flower. It's just the picture of the flower. It's a beautiful flower. It would really make me happy to see those. That's all story. The pure raw experience is just the photograph of the flower. If there's a video, again, it's the same thing as story space, so I don't need to explain that. If it's a voice, and there's a voice that says, da-da-da-da, you know, in my example, I'm so tired of feeling depressed all the time, the mind machine observes that and then makes up a story about that. Yeah, you know, I've been feeling depressed now for... Now, I can see how this can get confusing because you could say, well, that voice appears, and then another voice appears commenting about the voice. So it seems kind of like it's all story. This can get way over complicated and way over confused. There's a difference between the mind machine observing something and buzzing, whirring, and telling a story about what it just observed. and something just appearing in inner space that's appearing. So if a thought appeared, a voice, I'm so tired of feeling depressed all the time, and then something appeared after that commenting on that voice, judging the voice, commenting on it, giving it additional detail, commenting on it, you know, then that's the story about the pure raw experience of the voice. If the mind machine observes one of these waveforms, so to speak, again, it isn't really, but I'm just making it visual here. That's the pure raw experience, whatever the movement of energy was like on its own. And again, another way you can look at this, which I talked about in the videos, is if you're reading a really great novel or you're watching a really great movie, you experience all kinds of emotions. You're aware of this constant, pretty much in a movie or a great novel, pretty much constant movement of emotional energy. And again, sometimes it's slow, sometimes it's fast, sometimes it's quiet, sometimes it's loud, sometimes it's sharp, you know. It has different characteristics as evidenced by the waveform I'm showing you the picture of. Different amplitude, they would all look different. But when you're watching a movie or you're reading a really great novel, the mind machine does not engage and say, oh, that one's anger, I'm feeling angry now. Oh, that one's happy, I'm feeling happy now. Oh, that one's sadness, I'm feeling sad right now. Now, there may be exceptions. You may read a book, you may watch a movie, and from time to time, there is that labeling going on. But in general, when we're really engrossed in a great movie or TV show, we're really engrossed in a great novel, the movements of energy just move, and we're just aware of these unique waveforms, so to speak, these unique movements of energy, but the mind machine does not engage and stop and give it names and labels and judgments. It just, we're aware of this constant moving parade of these different emotions. So you know what it's like to experience a pure raw experience of an emotion, meaning the pure raw experience, no name, no label, no judgment, no good, bad, painful, pleasurable, I hate this, make this go away, make all of that kind of, you know what it's like to experience the pure raw experience of an emotion. If you can't remember right now, pop in a DVD of an adventure movie that you like or a movie that you really, really like, and be aware of what's happening in inner space with emotional energy as the story's unfolding, and you'll get at least one, if not dozens or hundreds, of experiences of a pure raw experience that isn't being labeled a judge. Now, it's tricky when you're watching a movie just to watch a movie. What I'm telling you is what most often happens. The mind machine does not engage. It doesn't label it or judge it. You're just aware of the pure raw experience for the whole movie. When you're doing it now, you know, because I tell you to do it, to invite you to do it, to see a pure raw experience, the mind machine may engage and it may get harder. But if you're still having trouble getting what I'm talking about, that would be the a useful next step. Next time you read a novel, a really great novel, or go read a couple of chapters of a novel that you really loved, or go pop in a movie, a thriller, an adventure, action, whatever you really like, and watch what happens in inner space. Excuse me, you'll see many examples of the pure raw experience of emotion. And that's what appears first. Then the mind machine looks at that movement of energy. It buzzes and whirs, and then it kicks out a story about it if it recognizes it, you know. And at this point in your life, most of the emotional energy patterns that appear in inner space have been cataloged by the mind machine. So whenever it sees a particular one, it recognizes it, and it buzzes and whirs, and it kicks out a label and a judgment. This is a good one. I like this. This is a bad one. I don't like this, and whatever else comes out of that. But so again, that would be my next suggestion. If this still seems confusing, go pop in a DVD of a movie that has a lot of, you know, whatever action or emotion or whatever in it, whatever is in the story. Watch what happens in inner space. If you are currently reading a novel, or if you pick one up or you reread a few chapters, you know, pick up a novel that you really loved and just randomly open it and start reading, or open and read a couple of chapters and notice what happens. And it'll be clear either as a result of this recurring dialogue with us, or from some of the stuff I said here, or from doing what I'm inviting you to do of watching a movie or being aware of it next time you watch a movie or in a novel or whatever. It will become clear to you that there is this thing called the pure raw experience of emotion, of sensation, of thought that appears first. Then the mind machine observes it, and then the story is always, what is the mind machine then saying about what it observed? What's the story it's telling about what it observed? And there's no need to be, lack of a better term, bear with this language, overly analytical in this, or to try to pry the story apart from the pure raw experience by force, you know, or dynamite something and blow it apart, you know. This is really, lack of a better term, something that you wait for true creative essence to reveal to you, and then it becomes effortless. You just, oh, I saw that pure raw experience there. And I see now the story that the mind machine told about it after it saw it. And true creative essence will just reveal it to you. Maybe once, and that'll be all it takes. Maybe a lot of times, you know, it's different for everybody. But this isn't something that you have to work your butt off to do. This isn't something that, again, you try to do by force or with pressure or using dynamite or C4 or something, you know. This is the kind of a thing of when it's the right time, so to speak, in your story, on your journey, true creative essence will reveal it to you. And once you've seen it, then you've seen it, you know. The magic trick has been revealed, and everything is different after that. Okay, Mark continues with a second question. I am amazing characters in a unique, amazing story. We all are. I am true creative essence. We all are. And everything in story space and inner space, true creative essence, the most powerful force in the universe, shapes itself into everything. You mentioned in the live event that we are writing our own story. I think that's what you said. And it's all written in advance like a novel. My character didn't write my story. True creative essence did. But I am true creative essence, so I did write it, so to speak. I'm finding this a bit tricky to follow. Again, the mind machine, Mark, on all of this stuff is really over-engaging and over-analyzing and complicating things that are really simple. You are true creative essence. True creative essence writes the stories and then reads the stories. Mark, the character, did not write the story. But since Mark, the character, is true creative essence, again, you know, splitting hairs, you want to get overly analytical or whatever, you could say from a certain perspective, if somebody wanted to have a debate or a logical argument, you know, they could defend the position that because Mark Hastings is true creative essence, Mark Hastings wrote the story. But a better way to look at this, so to speak, bear with that language, is J.K. Rowling is the author of the Harry Potter stories. Harry Potter is a character in the story. J.K. Rowling is everything in the story. All the people, all the places, all the things, all the dialogue, all the magic, everything. She wrote it, and all of it is her consciousness. Did Harry Potter write the story? Well, if you take Harry Potter as a character in the story that was written, the literal answer from a certain perspective would be no, he didn't. But again, an argument could be made that since Harry Potter is J.K. Rowling, and since J.K. Rowling wrote, I mean, it's just logic, you know, it's just mind games, it's just noise. The most important thing to get, which you get, is that true creative essence wrote it. True creative essence is reading it. Mark Hastings is a character in it, and Mark Hastings is true creative essence. That's all you need to know, and the rest of the swirl and the buzz whir and the mind games, you can just observe if it continues. It can be let go of now that we've talked about this. But it's really very simple in terms of the most important truths with a capital T in it, so to speak. Third question. So basically everything is a story. Every character is unique in their unfolding unique story. This is hard to put into words. We talk about a quote-unquote story in the context of it splitting from the pure raw experience as a positive thing. I know there is no positive, but I think you know what I mean. It sounds like a story is a so-called negative thing, but it's not. We're all part of an amazing story, and there are billions of unique stories in the gigantic, amazing story. Okay, here again, Mark, mind machine, way over-engaging, way over-analyzing, complicating something that's really quite simple. The word story is used in two different ways for the purposes of the Ultimate Freedom teachings. One way that the word story is used is what we've been talking about here so far, mostly, and in our previous dialogues, which is the story that a mind machine kicks out after it has observed a pure raw experience in inner space or story space. That's one kind of story. The fact that all of our lives, let's say that Mark Hastings lives to be 98 years old, so it's a 98-year-old story about the life of Mark Hastings. That's a different kind of a story. That's a different use of the word story. That's about the whole life, everything that appears. Again, it would be the metaphor, the comparison going back to Harry Potter would be the first book, let's say it's 350 pages, that's a story. It's the story of what happened to Harry Potter in his first year at Hogwarts, you know? That's the story from a big picture perspective, the story of Harry Potter's life. The other context of story would be if you observed Harry Potter in the story experiencing an emotion and saying, I'm angry, I'm depressed, or whatever. So you could say there's a big story, which is the story that's unfolding, the life story of a particular character, however you want to define it. And then there are mind machine stories, and they're different things. So again, it's really quite simple, but I get how it can be confusing because I've used the same word. But story is used in two different contexts, and so that's the resolution to that particular dilemma. Okay, that completes this week. So on that note, I'll say bye-bye for now, and I'll look forward to whatever our next form of contact is, whatever shape that takes. Bye-bye for now.